And so in John 21, we're reading verses 1 through 25. And these are God's words. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And he manifested himself in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will also come with you." They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find a catch." And so they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to question him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. Now, this is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished, but when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back on his bosom at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" So Peter, seeing him, that is John, the disciple that Jesus loved, said to Jesus, "Lord, and what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Therefore this saying went out among the brethren that the disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but only, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who is testifying to these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. Amen. Still today, books being written. At the end of chapter 20, John had said that Jesus had done many other signs beyond what is written in this gospel. And so this chapter, this last chapter of the gospel, gives us one of the many after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, in which he appears to his disciples as they've gone back now to their old job of fishing. And they did what we often do when something traumatic happens, even after the resurrection. here, they go back to what they know instead of going to what they were called to of the Great Commission. They were to go out as apostles and preach the gospel and bring many into the kingdom. So Jesus comes to them, and though they didn't know that it was him at first, and filled their net with fish, which ought to give them a clue, and did, and John knew it was Jesus, and said, "It is the Lord, it is Yahweh." And Peter, in all his zeal, of course, Peter, always very zealous, jumps out of the boat and swims to him. And then all the rest coming ashore, they feast on the bread and fish with Christ, they commune with him, which is, as we've heard, the blessing of that we have on the Lord's Day. And then Christ called Peter to come to him and to love him by loving to shepherd, to care for the sheep of Christ's church, the calling of elders and pastors. Then Christ spoke of the death of Peter, in which he commands Peter in his Peter's suffering and death. He says, "Follow me. Even in death, follow me." A command for all of us today. Peter then tries to ask Jesus about John the Apostle, but Jesus commanded him again, "Don't be concerned about the calling so much of other people. Focus on yourself." That is, focus on your calling. Follow me. No matter what comes. All the other apostles and you, Peter, are going to die by suffering and persecution. John, we know, would not. He would die of old age, which is being indicated here. An eyewitness. John was the eyewitness to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, just one of many. And that's what he testifies in this book as it summarizes. This is the disciple who is testifying to these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony, it's John's testimony, is true because it is the testimony that comes from Jesus by the Holy Spirit through John. And as we consider the many things that Jesus has done for us, he has done great things as our Lord and Savior. And so if he has truly lived, as John testifies, as he's truly died, as John testifies, as he has rose from the dead, as John testifies, and now is seated on the throne, and he has, and he is, then we are called to follow him no matter what comes. That is the call of all followers of him, if these things are true. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We're thankful for this calling that was not just to Peter, but really to all people who are your children. That you require, even if necessary, the leaving of father and mother, and sister and brother, to let the dead bury their own dead, and many other callings of following you. Even to take up our cross and follow you. If that means suffering and persecution, then so be it. Because we know and we can do these things. We know as we've been strengthened to do so, if that is our calling. Because to die is gain, and we know that. We know that to die is to be in your presence. Not that we are looking or trying to die, but we're trying to live for Christ. But in our living for Christ and in our dying for gain, we ought to be living for Christ. That is, following him. And so, Father, we ask that you would help us to follow after you in all steps along the way of our lives. We're thankful that you have numbered our days. And so we don't need to be concerned about how many days we have left, but rather treat every day as if it is our last, because we have been called to follow after you. And if you have so lived and died and rose from the dead, then everything else in comparison to who you are and what you have done, Father, and then in and through your Son and by your Holy Spirit. Everything else is counted as loss. It is not as important, as inconsequential in comparison to the gospel of Jesus Christ and what you have done for us and your love for us from all eternity. Father, you have saved us from the eternal damnation, eternal punishment, and eternal destruction that we deserve because of our sin. And you have set us upon the rock, upon Christ your Son. And you provide for us and care for us and shepherd us. Father, of course, we do pray for elders and pastors that we would be continuing, especially that ministry of the Great Commission, taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. And yet, Father, we know that also applies to all of us here, because we are to declare the works of God to all nations. Father, help us in our various callings to follow you. Father, we thank you for your church. We're thankful for the church throughout the world that the gospel is proclaimed today in many places, in many nations, even in nations where the gospel and the church are persecuted and condemned. Father, we ask that you would strengthen those brothers and sisters of ours who are going through that, and strengthen us for when that will come to us, if it does. Of course, you say that if we are heirs, we will be persecuted. And so, Father, strengthen us for that. Father, we pray for our sister congregation in Bryan, Texas, the Living Way Reformed Presbyterian Church, and their Wednesday becoming a particular church. That is, they're having their elders ordained and their pastor installed. And so we are praising you for raising up elders for them and establishing them as another congregation of your holy church. And Father, we pray that you would continue working for us, that you would grow your church, that the gospel would go to more and more people. And Father, we do not ask that you would bring just Christians from other churches to us, but that you would bring Christians, that is, new converts, that you would use us to proclaim the gospel to the many, even in our neighborhoods and community where we are here and in and where we live. So, Father, we ask that you would help us, and we plead for your mercy and grace in this. We are unable to do it of ourselves, of course, but by your Spirit we are able. And we are thankful that though we are weak, you are strong, and your grace is sufficient. And that's why we continue calling out upon you in prayer, because you're sufficient and we are not. And so even now in our worship, we know that we are insufficient of ourselves, but in union with your Son and by your Holy Spirit, the strength and power of him, you are enabling us to worship you in spirit and in truth. And so work in our hearts and cause us to follow your commands. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.